The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is on, and we thank you for listening. And of course, today is a very special day for each and every one of us, as it is Mother's Day, and we wish each and every one of our female listeners a happy Mother's Day. And indeed, the focus of Focus on Females is on women and families. That includes men, of course, but especially for the woman who is running a family, who has so many responsibilities to run the family, keep the husband happy, or the significant other happy, as well as those kids. It is so easy to forget about oneself and neglect oneself and one's own health care, which, of course, just makes it that much more difficult to run the family. So it is for you women out there and the core of the family, running the family, that we really wish to focus upon, and we're here to help you, and we celebrate you, as we really ought to every day. And today, we are tackling non-ophthalmic manifestations of systemic dry eye disease, Sjogren's syndrome, with guest expert Dr. Dan Small of the Sarasota Arthritis Center and the Sjogren's Center of Florida. But first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with over 1,000 women during each of our last two events, with a combined over 7,500 hours of education on those 2 days, is supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based healthcare safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The result? Better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families through the immediate impact of direct with the expert health education. And indeed, we are proud of our success over the last 5 years. And today, before we get started on today's show, I do want to share with each of our listeners that are in the Tampa Bay area. The Focus on Females Education Foundation is the subject of a cover story in the Tampa Bay Wellness Magazine. This is a free magazine that focuses on health, fitness, medicine, nutrition, lifestyle, And you can pick up a copy at every CVS, at every Shapes Exercise Club, as well as several or many Publix grocery stores and hundreds of other locations around the Tampa Bay area. And they have a nice four-page spread on Focus on Females Education Foundation, and with an interview and really quite helpful in sharing what our mission is and what we're about, including some examples of how we literally have saved lives and transformed families with impact to be felt for generations. So we're very proud about that, and you maybe I know you'll enjoy reading about the Focus on Females Education Foundation in the Tampa Bay Wellness Magazine. Now I'd like to welcome my guest expert, Dr. Dan Small. Dan, it's great to have you here today.
Steve, I'm happy to be here.
And I know your mom is listening in Sarasota. Would you like to?
Yes, and happy Mother's Day to my mother and all those mothers out there.
And my mom as well as my wife. Okay, well, Dr. Small is a rheumatologist who has had a career-long commitment to researching and teaching professionals about the diagnosis and treatment of Sjogren's syndrome. He practices rheumatology with seven other rheumatologists at the Sarasota Arthritis Center and has established the Sjogren's Center of Florida. He has been in practice for over 30 years. He and his wife have lived in Southwest Florida for 18 years. He is an avid photographer and spends his spare time watching football, enjoying his miniature goats, and chasing after his pet potbelly pigs, Minnie and Wilbur. And so, again, now before we start, there was a caller from North Carolina. Do we lose him? Cedric, did we lose? Okay, well, I can't hear you, but if you're listening from North Carolina, Steve from North Carolina, give us a call back. Okay. So let's first define Sjogren's syndrome, if we can, Dan.
Sure. Sjogren's syndrome is an inflammatory connective tissue disease that's characterized by lymphocytic infiltration. So inflammatory cells grow into the salivary glands and also the lacrimal glands or tear glands around the eyes, but also in many other organ systems and many other structures. And it's been described first by a fellow named Miklitz back in the 1880s, and he described the particular pathology of Sjogren's syndrome. And then in the 1920s and 30s, Heinrich Sjogren, who was a Swedish medical student, fell in love with another Swedish medical student who had a father who was an ophthalmologist, and the two of them decided to go into ophthalmology. And Heinrich Sjogren started researching patients with dry eye syndrome, and he described in around 1933 a large number of patients with rheumatoid arthritis who had dry eyes and dry mouth. And this group of patients subsequently has been called Sjogren's syndrome after him.
Okay. We're going to come back to that, but we do have Steve back on the line. Steve is calling from North Carolina, and Steve, we'd like to welcome you to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you. My question is that I have seen Dr. Maskin, and he did a great job for me with my dry eye. And I'm on Restasis for crusting of the eyelids. The Restasis has taken me 90% of the way, but that 10% is there's still plugging of those ducts, and I have to pick the matter out of them every day, and once I get done picking them clean, I suddenly feel moisture getting to my eyes, but I don't know how to safely remove this little bit of residue that remains.
Let me tackle this one. The crusting is on your lashes or on the lid margin? Where exactly is it?
It's on the edge where the eyelashes come out.
Okay. If it's around the lash, then this is known as anterior blepharitis. Are you using any kind of lid hygiene, Steve?
Yes. I did get some OcuSoft
okay.
eye scrub, but I found that it seems to irritate my eyes.
Okay. All right. Have you tried what else have you tried besides the OcuSoft pads?
Well, the first thing I tried were baby shampoo, a dilute solution of baby shampoo.
And what was your experience with that?
I still have to pick the residue out.
Okay. Have you tried Styrofoam?
I've not heard of it.
Okay. It's a relatively newer product. It's a foam, and you could use it to cleanse your lid margins as well. It's over the counter.
Okay.
I think it's like Sterilid Foam, I believe it's called. If you have a hard time finding it, call the office tomorrow or later this week, for that matter. Call the office, and we'll help guide you to locate it.
Okay.
All right. But ultimately, if that doesn't help, then you may have to have this area cultured to find out what usually this is from a bacteria. Could be from a parasite, but you may need to have this evaluated to see what it is that's causing this crusting, and you may ultimately need antibiotic ointment. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Well, thanks for tuning in and calling with your question, Steve.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay. And so so Dr. Small, you have reviewed the a little bit of the history of Sjogren's syndrome. Was there other areas you wanted to expound on as far as the history of it?
Sure. My interest really peaked when I was in my fellowship. I was at Scripps Clinic and Research Foundation, and Margaret Alsbaugh, who found the SSA and SSB antibodies, was a researcher there. And initially, we found these antibodies in patients who had inflammatory rheumatic disease. But it wasn't clear until we looked at large numbers of patients that the SSA and SSB antibodies were associated with Sjogren's syndrome. So that was around 1977, 78, and my interest in Sjogren's really relates back to that time. I started, when I went into private practice, I started seeing patients who had unusual neurological diseases, unusual forms of arthritis. And over again, as I looked for patients with Sjogren's syndrome, I would find them. Many of them had seen many different physicians over many years and had not had an adequate diagnosis. Mm. And I found that when we started treating these patients aggressively with anti-inflammatory medications, disease-modifying medicines that we used in other rheumatic diseases, they did much better. There was less progression of their underlying disease. And they did much better over time.
Well, let's look at some of those systemic problems that people with Sjogren's can complain about. What would you say, you mentioned before the classic, of course, is rheumatoid arthritis and dry eye and dry mouth. What are the next maybe three or four most frequent complaints that patients with Sjogren's have from a systemic perspective?
Sure. Well, if the patient has an underlying primary rheumatic disease like systemic lupus or scleroderma or rheumatoid arthritis, and they have dry eyes and dry mouth of Sjogren's syndrome, then they have a secondary Sjogren's syndrome. But the majority of the patients that I see in my practice have primary Sjogren's syndrome. They don't have another primary rheumatic disease to blame their symptoms on. And many of them will present, because I'm a rheumatologist, with aches and pains. Everything from inflammatory arthritis to myalgias to fibromyalgia. They may have fatigue as being a very common complaint. Many of the patients feel like they have the flu all the time, and they really are debilitated with regard to their activities of daily living. They just don't have the energy to do what their friends and family may expect of them.
It's interesting because you alluded, or you mentioned, scleroderma is one of the causes of secondary Sjogren's syndrome. And I think it was last week we did a show on hair loss, and we had a caller who had hair loss, and through questioning it turned out that she had a history of scleroderma, although it was not, by her physician, it was not being attributed as to the cause of hair loss. And the suggestion was, if nothing else worked, to maybe biopsy. And evidently the dermatologist that was here stated that on a biopsy you can tell whether the hair loss is from a autoimmune on an autoimmune basis.
Yes, you would be seeing inflammatory cells in the hair follicles.
So if that patient is listening, we certainly still feel that it's a good idea to have a biopsy if you're interested in pursuing further diagnosis of why you have hair loss in the setting of scleroderma. In fact, she also had so-called Raynaud's disease where her nail beds turned blue. So it may very well all be linked together, her hair loss.
Raynaud's and vasculitis and skin rash are other manifestations that we see with Sjogren's syndrome, especially those patients that have SSA antibody, as that is also seen in subacute cutaneous lupus. So many times the patients may have hair loss as part of that. Mm. Usually in that setting, their hair loss is not just generalized thinning, but they'll actually have bald spots that will develop over time.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more. Now's the time to consider your questions. Call in and ask your questions. We are at 289-1860, 289-1860 in Hillsborough County. Outside of Hillsborough County, for those that are streaming live, it's 877-969-8600. That's toll-free, 877-969-8600. Call in now with your question.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. After the last-minute detention of Faisal Shahzad before he fled to Pakistan, the evidence of a jihadist motive behind the car bomb planted in Times Square on May 1st is overwhelming. And so, too, is the evidence of the Obama administration's inability to name our enemy. Janet Napolitano, the Homeland Security Secretary, first branded the attack as a one-off, indicating it was not part of a coherent plan, and then refused until the evidence became overwhelming to call the car bomb an act of terrorism. This is an astonishing indifference to the obvious truth that confronts most Americans. There's no need to fear panic on the part of us, but there is a reason to fear an administration that seems tongue-tied and incapable of honestly assessing the threats we face. The president and his senior officials are not leveling with the American people. We need candor, not obfuscation, clarity, not confused stumbling and bumbling. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
Visit townhall.com today.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you.
Do your eyes have a foreign body sensation or are scratchy and sandy? Do they burn, sting, or itch, or are heavy and tired? Maybe your eyes are sensitive to light or your eyelids achy and sore. Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but you'll have to live with this and nothing can be done for you? Well, first, it's likely you suffer from dry eye. And second, don't stand for those answers anymore. Just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems, go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you will be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with a doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain, fluctuating vision, and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin. Focus on Females.
Okay, welcome back. This is Mother's Day on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, and this program is devoted to all the mothers out there. And so with me today is Dr. Dan Small, who is a rheumatologist at the Sarasota Arthritis Center and the Sjogren's Center of Florida. And we're tackling, really our focus today is on non-ophthalmic manifestations of Sjogren's syndrome. And on the line, Steve, who would call earlier from North Carolina, but now he's got a follow-up question. Steve, welcome back.
Yes, thank you. I find that I have trouble with most of the skin all over my body with follicular plugging, and sometimes these turn into little infections. And I've tried salicylic acid washes. I've tried soaps, body washes with triclosan. And no matter what I do, I can't. And it's especially bad across my cheeks and around my eyes and my forehead. There's just, my skin stays really oily and greasy, and the pores get plugged up. I have tiny little like spider-like looking veins around those areas too. And it seems to be like some kind of edema, like the tissues are red and swollen around my cheeks and forehead. I didn't know what I could do. I've tried everything that I could think of to take care of my skin, but every day.
Yes.
That's my question. Yeah. What can I do?
Well, first thing is, you know, seeing a good dermatologist. Many of the skin problems that patients with Sjogren's have are solvable with some basic, good skin care. Sometimes if the skin is extremely oily, using an antibiotic such as tetracycline or even erythromycin can cut down on the oil content in the skin, much like a young person with acne benefits sometimes from the use of an antibiotic. And some of the acne medications also can help to cut down on the oiliness of the skin. And then often treating the underlying disease itself, if a person does have Sjogren's syndrome and they have signs of systemic activity, such as elevated inflammatory markers, elevated CRP or sed rate or increase in gamma globulin in the bloodstream, treating the inflammatory disease itself may help many of the manifestations of the disease, sometimes just the aches and pains and fatigue, but also the skin manifestations often will improve, and we'll even see improvement in the dryness of the eyes and dry mouth if you can treat the underlying systemic disease.
Do patients with Sjogren's have any increased incidence of seborrhea as a general generalization?
Not necessarily. They do complain of dry skin, and in that regards, they may have some increased seborrhea that way. But there's a lot of dryness, though, not only the eyes and the mouth, but patients may complain of throat dryness, dryness of their skin, vaginal dryness as well. So treating the underlying systemic disease may help with all of these manifestations.
And this really goes to the next topic we're going to talk about with organ systems, like with thyroid, for example, and other organ systems that are involved. But going back to Dan, you mentioned you have these little blood vessels on your skin, on your mm-hmm. cheeks and so forth. Do you have any difficulty swallowing?
Actually, I do. Once in a while, in the evening, it hurts right. I get a little bit of a mild, sharp pain just below my Adam's apple when I swallow.
Patients,
doctors took a MRI, and they said that I had some narrowing of the gastroesophageal junction.
Many of our patients with Sjogren's will develop gastrointestinal problems. We've seen everything from in the esophagus, amotility, in other words, there's no motility in the esophagus at all, to achalasia, where there's a muscular narrowing in the esophagus, gastroesophageal reflux is extremely common, and also gastroparesis, where the stomach doesn't empty well. We've also had patients who have developed chronic pancreatitis and biliary stasis due to motility disturbance within the pancreatic system or the biliary system. There's an interesting inflammatory process called primary biliary cirrhosis and also ascending cholangitis. That's the disease that Walter Payton died of, where there's a lot of inflammation in the portal part of the liver and the biliary system. There's an interesting study previously where they looked at patients who developed cirrhosis who did not have hepatitis A, B, and C, or had not been heavy drinkers and did not have autoimmune hepatitis, and about half of those patients had Sjogren's syndrome. So inflammatory disease in the liver is another area that can be a concern in patients with Sjogren's.
That's excellent information, and it's and again, it's my sense is it's just the tip of the iceberg as far as organ systems in the body that can be impacted by Sjogren's. But do you, Dan? Does your fingernail beds turn blue or purple sometimes?
No, not really blue. My hands and feet sometimes they seem to sweat profusely and. And they get very cold, and I have to put on gloves or even bundle up in a blanket. And it may be, the thermometer may say, it may be 75 in the house.
Hmm. Have you seen a rheumatologist for these assorted problems?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And what they're just, everything so far has been inconclusive. There is one very curious thing that I've noticed additionally, that my urine contains strings of mucus, and I've been to many doctors, and everyone doesn't really know why. And
Sjogren's on the genital urinary system.
Well, we do see some increase in interstitial cystitis in patients who have Sjogren's syndrome,
which is inflammation of the bladder,
right? And
could that produce
this
mucus?
Possibly. It's not a complaint that I, that I often hear.
Okay.
But neuropathy is very common. About one-third of our patients develop neuropathy. Usually it's sensory, but it can be a motor neuropathy, and autonomic neuropathy can also be seen, and that can cause color change in the fingers, certainly burning, what we call dysesthesias in the hands and feet are extremely common in our patients. About 19% of our patients have had cranial neuropathies where they'll get Bell's palsy or Tic de la Rue, which is a very painful process involving the trigeminal nerve.
And Bell's palsy being a facial nerve palsy, so you lose the control of some of your face.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, most patients with the cranial neuropathy, it's temporary, and with steroid treatment, patients respond quite well, but there may be some residual problems.
I was thinking, as I was listening, Dan, to Steve's description, he mentioned the blood vessels, which may be telangiectasia, the esophagus. Do you think there's a possibility there may be an underlying crest?
Very possible. The crest syndrome is calcinosis, Raynaud's, esophageal dysmotility, sclerodactyly, and telangiectasia, which are those little kind of spider angiomata or enlargement of blood vessels that often are on the face and also in the hands.
Steve, is the skin tight? Do you have a sense of your skin tightening over your extremities or your joints in your hands?
Well, it's actually very wrinkly. It's very small, fine wrinkles, especially over the back of my hand.
Okay, but you don't have a sense of tightening of the skin.
Not really.
Okay. All right. It sounds like as far as your skin and the follicular plugging and the occasional infection, sounds like, have you been to a dermatologist to discuss these findings?
Yes. Yes, I have. I really, they really don't seem to know what to tell me. One physician suggested that I use a cream. I'm trying to think of the name of the cream. It started with a T. Trentinone. Trentinone.
Which is a vitamin A compound.
And he was suggesting that that my skin cells were turning over too quickly, or not quickly enough to use the keratin coming out of the pores. And so he said that if I use Trentinone, that this helps the skin turn over faster and may be able to utilize it.
Did it help?
But the Trentinone, well, I couldn't afford it.
Okay.
I wanted $50 for an ounce and a half tube, and that wouldn't even cover my body.
Tell me something. Did you try, Dr. Smalder suggested considering an antibiotic. Was that tried?
Considering what?
An antibiotic.
Nobody has mentioned anything like that before.
And when was the last time you were seen by the dermatologist?
About 2 months ago.
Okay. Has it progressed, this condition?
It seems to stay pretty much the same.
Okay. Any advice, Dan?
My approach would be to really look at the underlying systemic disease and see how active it is. Are there inflammatory markers such as a sed rate or a CRP that are elevated? Is there increased gamma globulin? Do you have a positive SSA or SSB antibody? Because if you do and there are signs of systemic illness, treating the underlying systemic disease may provide a great deal of benefit, and some of these other symptoms and signs may improve.
That's a great point. So it sounds like maybe if it's been a while since you've had blood tests, to repeat the blood tests and see whether or not your underlying disease is increased in severity.
Well, I know that I have consistently tested positive for the antibody B.
Well, we're talking about the level of positivity or the level of inflammation. And see if you have an increased level of inflammation in your body, which may suggest treatment of the underlying condition.
Yeah, the vast majority of patients with Sjogren syndrome, if they have active disease, do well with medications like Plaquenil, which is an anti-malaria medication that reduces inflammation in the body. So looking again to see if there's active disease makes a lot of sense.
Give it a try, Steve, and let us know how it goes, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks
All
very
right.
much.
Thank you.
And Jennifer, we know you're on the line. We're going to take a quick break and come right back to you. This is the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic. Happy Mother's Day. We're talking about non-ophthalmic manifestations of Sjogren syndrome with Dr. Dan Small, Sarasota Arthritis Center and Sjogren Center of Florida. I'll be right back.
Has the Obama administration been caught with its pants down one too many times?
Put some pants on, kid, so I can kick your butt.
First, there was the overdue response to the massive oil spill in the Gulf.
This is something that they haven't handled properly.
Then the accused Times Square bomber got aboard a flight to Dubai and almost got away.
I was never in any fear that we were in danger of losing.
Now, more than ever, wondering if this is the change we can believe in. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. Think of everything that's happening right now, from the effort to repeal Obamacare, the Tea Party movement, and the all-important elections in November. I keep up on all this and more at hotair.com. Every day, hotair.com shines a light on everything from the Democrats' plans to raise our taxes to choosing a new Supreme Court justice. And hotair.com is free. Log on to hotair.com and read what you've been missing. Hotair.com. From Obamacare to the November elections to choosing a new Supreme Court justice, keep up with it all by logging on to hotair.com. That's hotair.com.
Get your golf buddies together for a great time and do good at the same time when you play 18 holes for Haiti, June 21st at Cypress Run, Tampa Bay's premier private golf club. Sponsored by Paradise Golf, Cypress Run, and Talk Radio 860 WGUL, 18 holes for Haiti offers you and your foursome a chance to tee it up on the pristine fairways of Cypress Run and Tarpon Springs. With proceeds going to Cross International, helping alleviate the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Haiti. And while you're on the links, you'll enjoy complimentary beverages, lunch before before and hors d'oeuvres after in the clubhouse, plus terrific prizes including an annual membership to Cypress Run, a Hawaiian vacation, cash, clubs, and more. The field is limited to 120 golfers, so sign up today and play 18 holes for Haiti. June 21st at Cypress Run Golf Club, sponsored by Paradise Golf, Cypress Run, and Talk Radio 860 WGUL. For more information and to register, log on today at 860WGUL.com, keyword golf. This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2009 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please, visit drmaskin.com, and if you have not found relief for your painful red dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. It's Mother's Day here, and we honor all the moms throughout. And we encourage moms and non-moms to call in with your questions. You can find us and reach us with your question at 289-1860. That's in Hillsborough County. Everywhere else is toll-free, 877-969-8600. On the line is Jennifer. Jennifer, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you very much.
And now, I believe you're a patient of Dr. Small, is that correct?
That is correct, I am.
And you have known Sjogren's disease?
Yes, I do.
Do we know if it's primary or secondary?
It is primary.
Okay. And when were you diagnosed with Sjogren's?
I'd say approximately 7-8 years ago.
Okay, so roughly about 2002,
yep.
Something like that.
Somewhere around there, yes.
And how old are you now, may I ask?
I'm 39.
Okay, very young lady. All right. Tell us about your history as far as symptoms back in the early 2000s and how it is that you were ultimately diagnosed with Sjogren's.
Back in the early 2000s, when I thought I was completely invincible, I would have tightening of my hands. They would swell up. My eyes were dry. My joints, I noticed I started occasionally feeling like I had the flu.
Okay.
My legs would hurt. I noticed my toes were starting to get numb. But I had gone to my family doctor who recommended a rheumatologist, and I had gone and looked at my hands and said, well, this doesn't look right. And did just routine blood work, and my ANA came back positive.
Okay.
And with that, they ran some more tests and told me I had Sjogren's.
Okay.
And I was basically told, you know, that there was nothing I can do about it, that I had all the symptoms that I was having, the aches, the pains, the dry eyes, you know, at this point I was having difficulty swallowing. I had heartburn, and I was told there was nothing I can do, that I just basically had to, in lack of a better term, suck it up and deal with it.
So the diagnosis, there wasn't a problem in making a diagnosis. A rapid diagnosis was made. But
extremely rapid.
But they basically, you were left to feel and to think that at 32 or
32,
the rest of your life was going to be miserable, like, and perhaps just continue to progress with more severe symptoms.
Exactly.
And so what did you do? How did you respond to that?
Well, for 2 years, I bit my tongue and just lived in pain. And there were days where I just couldn't get out of bed. And by accident, my husband was driving in Sarasota. And on the left-hand side, at a quick glance, he saw a Sjogren's sign. And he pulled over and took down the information. And that's how I met Dr. Small. And I am so grateful that I met him, because I'm doing things now that I couldn't do in my early 30s.
And where do you live?
I live in Northport, Florida.
Where is Northport, Florida?
Northport is right underneath Sarasota and Venice.
Okay. All right, so you happen to be in the area, and you saw Dr. Small's office, and tell us about what's been done since then, since Dr. Small's been taking over your care.
Extensive blood work.
Okay.
And he's answering questions that I've never had answered before. He put me on a drug called Plaquenil.
Okay.
Celebrex.
Okay.
Restasis for my eyes.
Okay.
And I've responded. It took a little longer for the Plaquenil to kick in, but within 3 weeks, just the Celebrex alone was enough to keep my hands moving and feeling good, and eventually everything just lined up wonderfully. I don't have any problems getting, you know, standing up or sitting down. My legs don't hurt anymore. The fatigue is almost completely gone. It's just it's unbelievable when someone can help you.
This is a great story. It's a great story, and it's obviously a tribute to Dr. Small's expertise. And also, there's a lesson here for each of our listeners, and that is that if things don't seem to be going right, or if treatment seemingly is not available for you, don't give up. And, who was driving the car that day, you or your husband?
My husband was actually driving, and he said
there's a reason why.
Yeah, he just saw it out of the corner of his eye. It's a very odd name to put on the side of a building,
right.
And it caught his eye, and I'm happy. And then I just did some internet research, and Dr. Small's name popped up, and it took a while to get in. It was a 3-month wait. I was figuring I was waiting two and a half years. I can wait 3 more months, and it's unbelievable. It's just don't give up, because he's turned my life around.
Outstanding. Dan, you'd like a comment on this case?
Jennifer, it's wonderful to hear this. This is what makes it pleasurable for me to come to work, is when we can help people, and it's really a joy to be able to do that. I think the other thing that's important is the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So one of the problems that we have is that most physicians are trained to the standard of Sjogren syndrome is treated symptomatically. And yet, if you look at many studies, patients with Sjogren syndrome have more disability than patients who have lupus. And patients with Sjogren syndrome have more problems with daily living than patients with rheumatoid arthritis. And yet, all rheumatologists would treat lupus and rheumatoid arthritis aggressively. And we have found that if you treat patients with Sjogren syndrome aggressively and treat the disease, their dis-ease improves and their ability to do their activities of daily living is markedly better.
And what happens, for example, Dan, if a patient with Sjogren's, for example, in Jennifer's case, let's say she did not get the treatment she needed, would the swelling continue, would the toes, you know, the neuropathies continue to the point where there could be permanent damage?
Yes. Fortunately for the inflammatory arthritis, most patients don't go on to develop destructive arthritis, but they will have persistent inflammation. Those patients that have positive SSA antibodies and have increase in gamma globulin can progress to develop a lymphoma. They develop a B-cell lymphoma. Fortunately, that's very treatable, but to wait till a person has lymphoma before, you know, treating aggressively is really a delay in management.
And that goes probably for all the other associations with Sjogren's syndrome, including the liver disease you had alluded to earlier.
Yes.
The brain disease, right? The cranial neuropathies.
Right. There are other organ systems that are more critical in terms of progression, such as interstitial lung disease. About 10% of our patients have clinical interstitial lung disease, where there's inflammation in the lung tissue itself leading to decrease in oxygenation. At the University of Florida, they've done CT scans on patients with Sjogren's and have found up to 70% of patients have abnormalities. But, you know, many patients have what we call subclinical disease, and they don't complain about shortness of breath or increase in cough. But many patients with Sjogren's do have respiratory involvement. It may not be interstitial lung disease, but they may have inflammation, these inflammatory cells going around the bronchi, and we call it a peribronchitis, and that may lead to hoarseness and cough as well.
Are there any? Does Sjogren's also affect the heart?
Yes.
Yeah.
A number of our patients can have inflammation of the lining of the heart, the pericardium.
Mm-hmm.
Another problem, occasionally patients will have problems with the conducting system in the heart leading to rhythm disturbances. Rarely valvular heart disease can result.
Jennifer?
Yes. It's funny you mentioned that. I had pericarditis about 2 years ago, and it's a good thing I knew I had Sjogren syndrome, uh-huh. because that was the absolute first thing they looked for. I had on my EKG, it showed low voltage,
mm-hmm.
and I happened to work on a cardiac unit in the hospital, and the cardiologist that was there, as soon as I said Sjogren syndrome, the first thing out of his mouth was, "I'm going to try and see if you have pericarditis," and that's indeed what I had.
I want to make a point here. How long have you been working on a cardiac unit in the hospital for?
I'm going on 2.5 years now.
Okay. Have you been in the medical field for a long time?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So back in 2000, when you started getting these symptoms, you were working in the medical field?
Yeah. Yes.
So my point here is that serendipitously, you found the man who could help you, despite
the fact that I work in a hospital.
That's right. And it just shows you, again, how difficult it is to identify and access credible information, who has the knowledge and information to share with the patient to solve the issues, whether it be on the diagnostic side or the therapeutic side. And even someone who works inside the medical field may still not know where the best individual is or where to go for your problem. It's the whole crux, the whole purpose of why we're here at Focus on Females is to eliminate that gap in knowledge, that gap in knowledge which will ultimately impact your lives and affect you and your family for generations. So it's a perfect example of the need for outreach for shows like this, for education programs like this. And, I mean, we're thrilled here, obviously, for you that you've done so well. And, I mean, listen to your story about the pericarditis. I mean, bingo. Now that you knew you had an underlying disease, look how quickly your doctors or your cardiologist was able to make a diagnosis on a new problem that came up. And I'm sure you received the appropriate therapy and case closed.
Yes.
It's very important for people with Sjogren's syndrome to learn about the disease so that they can be on the lookout for new signs and symptoms that may occur. And joining the Sjogren's Syndrome Foundation, getting their newsletter called The Moisture Seekers monthly, is a great way of learning more about Sjogren's Syndrome.
Excellent. Any last thoughts, Jennifer?
Well, nope. Just very honored to be on your show.
Well, thank you very much. And you might want to share with all your friends, relatives, neighbors, colleagues that we do have this show, and every week is a different topic, and you learn a lot, and I think it'll help you and everybody else as we all deal with our own frailties as we get older. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Happy Mom's Day.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good. Okay. So long now. Let's kind of wrap up. We have three more minutes. Okay. So why don't we start here? Dan, I'm going to turn it over to you. Would you tell our listeners, basically, try to encapsulate a take-home message about what you do and the importance of the manifestations of Sjogren's syndrome?
Well, I've been interested in Sjogren's for many, many years, and it's a fascinating disease because it involves so many different organ systems and so often is undiagnosed. And even when diagnosed, patients may go see a physician that is telling them that there's only symptomatic therapy available when we really have seen a tremendous improvement in patients that are aggressively managed. Now, not everybody has wonderful responses to medications. Sometimes if the disease itself has gone on for many, many years, patients may have chronic organ system damage where they may have a chronic neuropathy, where they may have what we call dysesthesias, pain in their extremities. We can treat the symptoms with other medications, but the damage to the organ systems may already have taken place. So I think the key is the squeaky wheel gets the grease. If a person is complaining of symptoms, don't be satisfied with physicians saying, well, there isn't any additional treatment. Look further. Join the Sjogren's Syndrome Foundation. They have a number of newsletters and seminars that are held throughout the United States each year where you can learn more and have a one-on-one with physicians and other health personnel who can really help you with further information on Sjogren's.
Stay educated and always seek to find answers to the challenges in your life. The answers are out there. I'd like to thank Dr. Small for sharing his expertise with us today. Next Sunday on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, we're going to tackle grieving over a significant loss. Grieving over a significant loss next Sunday. In the meantime, this is Dr. Steve Maskin wishing each and every one of you a happy Mother's Day, a wonderful week, and a healthy week. See you next Sunday. Bye-bye.